Hello, this is Joe Polish, president of Piranha Marketing and founder of the Genius Network interview series, and you're about to hear one of my Genius Network interviews, and I just want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this, and I hope you find it very useful. If you want to find out more information about some of the interviews and resources that can help you in your business, you can go to www.joepolish.com. And we have a Joe Polish recommends section with all kinds of resources and vendors and services and products that we recommend that could help you in your business. And also for more useful interviews and a whole list of other people that I've interviewed, you can go to www.geniusnetwork.com. Thanks and enjoy the interview. Hello, friends and clients. Welcome to another edition of the Joe Polish Superstar Audio Tape Series. Today, this is going to be a very special interview. You've heard me speak a lot about the book The E-Myth and Michael Gerber, and lucky for me, I've actually got him on the phone with me. Can you hear me okay, Michael?
I can, Joe.
Okay, I'm in Arizona. Michael's in California. And like I said, The E-Myth, out of all the books that I read, and you're talking to somebody that reads at least one book a week on business, management, marketing, whatever, I would say The E-Myth is one of my top 10 favorite books. It's one of the best books that I've ever read in terms of systemization and just managing a company. And today we're going to talk a lot about really what you need to do to systemize your business and why businesses work and which ones don't and what to do about it. So my first question for you, Michael, why do people go into business in the first place?
Well, they go into business to get rid of the boss, putting it succinctly. What in fact is true is they go into business to get some measure of economic and emotional and physical freedom from the tyranny of routine and the job. Unfortunately, as you know, and as I know, most of them don't ever really experience that.
Yes, I agree. Well, what do the owners of extraordinary businesses know that the rest don't? You mentioned that in your book.
Well, extraordinary people that I've met in business, the ones who are truly remarkably successful, are truly entrepreneurs. And what I mean by entrepreneurs, I mean that they have an entrepreneurial perspective around the true work of a business. They go to work on their business to create a business that works without them, rather than going to work in their business to create a business that depends upon them. And so the difference between an extraordinary entrepreneur and everybody else is that they're continually looking for new and better and more effective ways of achieving an impossible objective. And when I say an impossible objective, I mean this stunningly original business that systemically is able to operate no matter where the owner is.
Okay, and when you say systemically, what do you mean by that?
Well, what I mean, Joe, is that if you look at everything that you do, you have a way of doing it. Now, whether you wing it or whether you do it by plan or whether you do it as is said on purpose, whether you do it the same way every time, it's really irrelevant. You have a system, and that system is either ineffective or highly effective. The truly entrepreneurial individual is trying to find the best system for producing the preferred result, and that means a way of doing what needs to be done. Step one, step two, step three, step four, a process, a strategy, a plan, and a series of methods that enable you to get the result you want.
Okay, now you mentioned in your book that there's over 1 million people that start a business of some sort every year. What do you say are the percentages of those people that actually succeed and which ones don't? I mean, what happens to all those businesses?
Well, the statistics aren't mine. The Department of Commerce, the Small Business Administration, and anybody and everybody who talks about the failure rate of small business knows that easily 85% of all new businesses will be out of business by the time they would have reached their 10th anniversary. So you have an 85 to 90% failure rate. It is truly tragic that more people who decide to do this thing, whether they decide to do it because they have to, because they were re-engineered, let out of a job, have no other option, or whether they decide to do it because they want to, and I would obviously prefer it to be the latter than the former, but whatever reason they decide, if they would only understand that creating a business is not just something that takes good common sense, as everybody suggests, but there is a method, a process, a way of doing it, that if effectively they would learn that way and become more of a student of business, as opposed to believing that because they know how to do the technical work, because they know how to clean a carpet, or because they know how to clip a poodle, or because they know how to be a physician, that they know how to build a business that cleans a carpet or clips a poodle or provides medical care. Because the fact is, that's the fatal assumption behind all new businesses, that because I understand how to do the work, I understand how to build a business that works. And it's just not true. What you do understand is how to do one part of the work, which is, in fact, one of the least important parts of the business, which is how to clean the carpet. The most important part of the business is how to build a business that can clean carpets no matter where you are.
Right. Well, with all the books and everything that are out there, why do you think that the majority of people have such a hard time learning this type of stuff? Do you think they don't have access to it, or they don't know where to look, or what do you think is the real cause as to why the majority have such a hard time making a business work?
Well, first of all, you don't learn business in a book. I say in the E-Myth very, very clearly at the very outset of it, and I know that people don't pay attention, but I say this book is not about how to do something, it's what to do. So the book was never intended as a prescription or an operations manual for anybody to build a business. It designs a structure, a way of thinking about business, that if one gets that, just that, how to think, that is to go to work on a business, not in a business, to build a business that's independent of you, not dependent upon you, et cetera, and so forth, to build your own franchise prototype, your turnkey system for operating your business as opposed to somebody else's business, which is what will differentiate your business from everybody else's business. If they were to understand that it's not a prescription but a strategy, a way of thinking, as opposed to designing the tactical work of what to do, step one, step two, step three, step four, then effectively the book has done its job. The problem is, in fact, and I've discovered this over the years, which is a very big surprise to me because I read a lot, as you do, is that most people don't read. Less and less and less people read. Fewer and fewer and fewer people read. Even the people who buy business books, statistics show us, 85% of them never finish the book. A great percentage of them never get past the first chapter. So while business books are in vogue today, while lots of people buy business books, and while you'll see many business books in the shelves of people who you work with, what I'll bet you, 10 to 1 is that they haven't read those books. Well, my book was intended to be read by people who don't read books. My book was intended to be read by people who truly want to get a breakthrough understanding of what is necessary in the way of how you think about your business in order to be enormously successful.
Right. Well, in terms of just having the format and things laid out in the actual book, I mean, what suggestion would you give to somebody that's first going into business? I would absolutely recommend that if somebody has not read your book already, of course they do that, but saying that that is a starting point of where to learn at least the structures and the mindset of systemization and all that, what would you suggest the first thing they actually do? Start putting together operation manuals, laying out job descriptions? I mean, what is the starting point?
Well, the starting point is, first of all, read the book. And I say that with tongue in cheek, but essentially I mean it.
Yes.
Read the book. Forget about me, because the reality is all the book really does is to state in a rather forceful and clear way what I believe every extraordinary entrepreneur has done, whether they knew they did it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, read the book and understand that the very first thing that you'll do then, once you've read the book, is to, before you even decide what the business is to ask yourself what you want. So we drive our clients at the E-Myth Academy over the past 20 years that we've been doing this work with thousands upon thousands of small business owners. This is not a book or an academic idea. This is something we do all the time on behalf of our clients, is we get them to think about what they want for their life. What do you want your life to look like when it's finally done? I'm saying to the people who are listening in that unless you know clearly what you want your life to look like, I mean literally what you want your life to look like by the time it's finally done, until you can truly articulate that, state that, and passionately are committed to that, and can give me the details of that, you can't possibly create a business to give you that. In other words, if you had an employee and you didn't know what their job was, if you had an employee and you didn't know what they were there to do, if you didn't know whether they're there to sell something or make something or clean the carpet or ship something, if you had somebody who was working for you and you were paying them $1,000 a month or $5,000 a month, doesn't matter what, wouldn't you want to be able to tell them what to do?
Absolutely.
Well, of course you would. Well, why is it then that people will start a business without knowing what to tell it to do? They don't know what to tell it to do. Do for me. Who? The owner. It's my business. And unless the business knows exactly what I want as an owner for my life, then the only thing that I'll end up doing is going to work every day. So the sad part about it is that when I said earlier the reason most people go into business for themselves is to get rid of the boss, and that is absolutely true, the sad thing is that they get rid of one boss only to create another, their business.
Right.
But now they're working for a lunatic. You know, I mean, they're just doing it, busy, 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 knocking their brains out every day, the tyranny of routine. Now they're even more controlled than they ever were in the job. The only difference is now they're controlled in every way imaginable.
Yes, they've got a million hats to wear and they're going in a completely aimless direction.
Right, and every day is just another one.
Yes.
Which is another fire to put out, more chaos. Am I getting any further? No, I'm not. I hope I am. Dreaming, 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 hoping, 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 working, 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 doing everything that comes along as best as I can do it, not knowing how to do most of it. And it's tragic because it doesn't have to be the case.
You know, I want to get into that subject because it's the most important part of the interview that we could be talking about, is not just necessarily going into a business and learning all the things you can do to run it, but actually having what you call a primary aim and what you want to get out of life. But let me have you make a couple of distinctions first. I think it'll help clarify some of this thinking. You say that everybody that goes into business are actually three people in one. Could you give a little detail of how you see that and who you think those three people are?
I believe very strongly in the idea that we are all, each and every one of us, many different personalities. Now, we can think about that outside of the business as the husband, the father, the brother, the son, all of these different personalities within us, the fool, the wise man, the wiseacre, et cetera, and so forth. And all of these personalities are continually claiming your allegiance, meaning somebody's always stepping up to the plate, the fat guy, the skinny guy, whomever, and trying to run your life. Well, in the business, there are really three primary personalities that play themselves out, and I call them the technician, the manager, and the entrepreneur. The technician is the person who is absorbed in doing it. The work I do. The manager is absorbed in maintaining order. So the manager is continually trying to create order within the environment. So the manager thinks systemically. The manager thinks about getting results through technicians. The manager is constantly trying to maintain the status quo. The entrepreneur, however, is continually trying to invent the future. So the entrepreneur is continually in the future, the manager is continually in the past, and the technician is continually in the present. How to take each and every one of those personalities and utilize them as though there were a fourth person who is the master, and the master is the personality, I would say, must run the show, otherwise every one of those other people is, depending upon what happens in the business. Depending upon who's stronger in any one particular day. And if it's the entrepreneur, you're always in the future, but you're not doing anything in the present. If you're the manager, you're always living in the past and trying to control everything, never experiencing the present. If you're the technician, you're so busy doing work, you can't see the forest for the trees. So the master is the one who must run the show. And that is to design my day and my life in such a way that I can utilize each of these personalities most effectively. Utilize them the best way I can. And the entrepreneurial personality is absolutely essential to inventing that business of the future, to dreaming about what must be in order for my business to be extraordinary. The manager is absolutely essential to maintain order, because without order, the entrepreneur is continually losing control. And so without a manager, the entrepreneur is continually creating chaos. The technician obviously is necessary because there's work to be done. But if the technician's work is simply focused constantly on doing it, and not what needs to get done and why we're doing that instead of the other, then the business will be driven to distraction by work. And every single person listening in knows of those personalities within himself. So I'm saying what's absolutely critical is a balancing of the three and knowing the role that each of them plays in the development of your business. Without a master, unless these personalities begin to serve something higher, someone higher, which is my primary aim. My primary aim becomes the master. My primary aim dictates what each and every one of these personalities must serve. And the business becomes the product of each and every one of these personalities that enables the master, my primary aim, to realize the life that I wish to lead.
So what you're basically saying is the fuel that actually motivates all of these three people to build a very successful business has really little to do with the entrepreneur, the technician, the manager. It has to do more so with the actual goal of what they want out of life.
You got it.
Okay.
And the problem is when you talk to anyone in business and ask them that question, they look at you blankly. Oh, they'll tell you, I want money, I want a car, I want a this, I want a boat. But that's all stuff. I mean, that stuff is, as you know, Joe, I mean, you know, you get a boat, now you want a bigger one.
Right.
You get a bigger one, now you want a plane. You get a plane, and now you want a rocket. Those things run their string out pretty quickly. So anybody who's ever had anything knows that the aim in life is not things. Therefore, what is it? Well, that's the big question, isn't it?
Yes. How does one actually determine what is important? I mean, I've had difficulties at times being in the massive chaos that happens in a business that, you know, it's been difficult for me to sit down and really decide what is important out of life. And I mean, I just want to make it clear to the listeners, this is not something you think over lunch. I mean, this requires some work.
I believe very, very strongly in this truth, and this truth is critical, which is that I need somebody to give me ballast. I need someone to provide me with feedback. I need help. And it's obvious that when I say this, that it's self-serving. I mean, obviously, I've got something to sell. Everybody's got something to sell. You do, I do, whomever we know does. Everybody's got something that they're pitching and selling. But the fact of the matter is, if I didn't believe that help was absolutely essential to be able to stay on track, if I didn't believe in the idea of a personal trainer, if I didn't believe the idea that a consultant or a mentor or a teacher was essential to the process, I wouldn't be saying it because I couldn't live with myself by selling something that was completely unnecessary. So what I believe is critical that every single person in the world have someone or many someones to whom they go for help. And that person provides the ballast. That person provides the staying on track. That person provides the ability to observe myself when I'm incapable of observing myself, to enable me to begin to think differently. I have to get out of myself. We all have to get out of ourselves. And the only way I can get out of myself is to be able to see myself. But oftentimes, the only way I can see myself objectively is if somebody slaps me on the side of the head. I need somebody to slap me on the side of the head. And so I'm suggesting to anybody listening here that essentially what this is doing is slapping them on the side of the head. Now, the problem is they can always turn the tape off, and they do. Or they can go to sleep while they're listening. So the problem with the audio tape is that it's not interactive. The problem with the audio tape is it is directed by the person who needs the slap on the side of the head, who's probably already, while I'm talking, going to sleep. How do they stay awake after I stop talking? And that's the huge human question. How do I stay awake? I mean, that's the biggest question of all. How do I stay awake? Stay awake to what? Stay awake to my aim. How do I keep myself from falling asleep? And that is what, in fact, I believe you're asking, which is, Michael, when I get so self-absorbed, when I get so caught up in doing it, doing it, doing it, when I get so lost, and you know you do and I know I do, we all do, how do I keep awake? Well, you keep awake by assigning somebody, when you are awake, to slap you on the side of the head. The only way in the world you can keep awake is when you're awake, to know that you need to find somebody who's more awake than you are to slap you on the side of the head. You need to give them the direction. You need to say, let me tell you what I want. Let me tell you where I want to go. Let me tell you who I want to be. Let me tell you in every manner, shape, and form so you really get it, and then repeat it back to me. And then help me to understand if that's a worthwhile objective from your perspective. Give me a new perspective. And in the process of doing that, when I'm awake, then when I go to sleep, what you're essentially saying to that person is, then slap me on the side of the head. Wake me up again. Remind me what our commitment was together. Because unless I'm able to do that, unless I'm willing to do that, I'll go to sleep and never wake up. And so most people, whether they like to believe it or not, are most often completely asleep. Completely asleep, and they wake up 3 years later and say, now what happened? Gee, wasn't I going here? Now how did I get here? Et cetera and so forth.
That is so true. That just knowing in my own business, in my own life, I've excelled so much in what I actually do with Piranha Marketing just from the fact that I have so many resources and so many mentors that I utilize. And I sincerely believe that if you're the boss, if you're the owner of the company, you need a boss just like anyone else. And if you rely on just yourself for direction, sometimes, like you said, you're going off all over the place.
Right. And what you really have to do is to empower that person in a moment of complete vulnerability and openness. You have the authority to slap me on the side of the head.
Mm-hmm.
Kick my butt. Because I need somebody to do that. And when I'm asleep, I'm going to resist, resent, tell you don't do that. So even best is to sign an agreement that you get to kick my butt. So if I begin to react when I'm asleep, don't kick my butt, I want to go back to sleep, you can hold up the sign.
Right.
And shove it in my face and say, remember this, remember the commitment, wake up. And if every small business owner would do that, and I mean this, Joe, with all of my heart, because I know the power of it. If every small business owner would find somebody to kick them in the butt, and give them not only permission, but essentially say, that's your commitment to me, and I'll pay you to kick me in the butt. And if you don't kick me in the butt, I won't pay you.
Yes.
You make that commitment, then something's going to change.
I absolutely agree. I mean, you know as well as I do, people that have paid you do that exact same. That's what people pay me for. The listeners of this tape, that's exactly what they're paying me for. And God knows from the testimonials, and I have stacks of them, and I know you have stacks and stacks and stacks of them, that actually does work, and that's the motivation and the resources that many small businesses need. And believe me, if just 5% of the businesses in this country would actually take that advice, we'd have a whole new country.
Yep.
So let's talk about a few more things, because then I want to talk about resources as we get towards the end of this tape. You say that the sole purpose of business is to sell it. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, who wants a business? The problem is, what I want is a life, and I don't even know what that is. I'm 60 years old. I turned 60 on June 20th. Of this year, not this year, 1996.
Mm-hmm.
My God, it's almost already over. I turned 60, and something happened to me when I turned 60. I had this sudden realization. I remembered something that I had heard, which is the average mortality of the American male is age 73. That means the average American male dies at age 73.
Uh-huh.
When I turned 60, I immediately had this flash which said, I got 13 years left. I had never had that before. Now, hear me, I don't mean to be fatalistic or depressing, but it just hit me. I don't have forever. I have a lot less than forever. And so the true question becomes then, what is it that I really want? I mean, what do I want to accomplish in this next 13 years? It's a hard thing to ask. It's a hard thing to know. So what I'm saying is, what I don't want is a business. What I want is to experience my life as completely as possible. So the last thing I'd say that anybody really wants when they start a business is a business. They want economic freedom. They want to get rid of the boss. They want to experience a flood of options. They want to experience what it means to live more life. They can't define what that means. They can give you some limited standards or characteristics of what more life would mean, but they can't really tell you. And so what I'm saying is the business is a means to get more life. So the question becomes, what do I do with it? Well, effectively, the sole purpose of creating a business, I'm saying, is to get rid of it. So I'm thinking in 5 years, I've been in business now since 1977. The E-Myth Academy is 20 years old, come July. That's a long time. And I have been so focused in this process of building this business because I started out at the very beginning with an idea of what I wanted to achieve with it. And it was a very, very difficult thing to do. I wanted a turnkey system for helping small business owners truly create an extraordinarily successful business, but at very, very low cost. And the picture I had in my mind was being able to provide small business owners with expert help at the cost of a minimum wage kit. Impossible. But we've done it. But when I'm done, what I really want to do is anything. Meaning I want to be able to choose to do anything. I don't want my business to direct my life. I want to direct my business to give me more life.
Right.
So that's what I mean by the fact that when somebody starts carpet cleaning business, their motivation should be to create that business, to operate in a very specific way, to give them a very specific lifestyle, and then ultimately to sell that business for exactly what they want to get in order to further the economic advantage that their life demands based upon their primary aim.
Describe to me what you mean by primary aim.
My life's vision. If I could imagine my life, when I get done with my life, you know, and I'm in the box, I'd like to imagine an audio tape being played for everybody in the ceremony, which is my funeral, and saying in this audio tape, telling the story of my life. What would I like to be able to say? So the story of my life in the audio tape at my crap-out date, when I die, is effectively my primary aim. So if somebody is sitting and listening, and they'd say, well, how do I create a primary aim? I'm saying, sit down and write the script for the audio tape that you're going to play at the end of your life, and say exactly what you would wish you were able to say. And write that, 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 until everything you could possibly wish could come true. And that is your primary aim. The beauty of it is when you do that, you now have a directive for your life. You now have a standard against which you're measuring your life. And without a standard against which I'm measuring my life, I don't have one.
I really believe that most people do spend more time planning their vacations than they do planning their lives or their business. It's sad.
If they'd even do that. I mean, most people you're talking to in, for example, the carpet cleaning industry or in any industry. I mean, we work with every kind of business. I mean, nobody's planning their vacation. Nobody who owns a business is planning their vacation. Most people who own a business don't even take one.
That's true. That's true. I mean, it's so chaotic. Talk about, could you say this term all the time? What's the difference between working on your business and working in your business? Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Well, working in your business is going out to clean a carpet. Working in your business is making a sales call. Working in your business is writing copy for an ad. Working in your business is whatever it is that has to be done every day just to get through the day. Working in your business is cleaning the floors, cleaning the walls, is dressing down somebody, is dressing up somebody. Working in your business is doing it, doing it, doing it. Working on your business is creating a systematic way to engage your business to work. So working on your business is inventing a better way of cleaning carpets. Working on your business is inventing a better way of selling. Working on your business is inventing a better way of writing copy. Working on your business is creating a turnkey system, like Ray Kroc at McDonald's did, a turnkey system for producing an absolutely predictable result. So Ray Kroc was the absolute consummate entrepreneur. He invented McDonald's. He perfected the system of all these little interchangeable, integrated parts that work in an absolutely predictable way, so that he could replicate that little business thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times. And when you think about the miracle of that, McDonald's today, all these years later, I mean, the business was created in the early 50s. Today, all these years later, almost 50 years later, the business is as young, as vibrant, as entrepreneurial, as extraordinary as it's ever been. It's a blue chip stock. It's a hamburger stand. It's regarded as one of the most successful businesses ever created in the history of mankind, and it's a hamburger stand. Think about it. It's extraordinary. It's because he approached his business a completely different way. So I'm saying to anybody listening to us here, working on your business would be to create your own franchise prototype of your business, your own turnkey operation, your own little money machine, so that your business can be replicated thousands upon thousands upon thousands of times, even if you're only going to own one when it's finally done. Because effectively, if you have a business, you have two carpet cleaners in it, and Murray is doing it one way, and John is doing it another way, and Jan is doing it another way, and if you got salespeople, each and every one of them is doing it their own way, each of them operating in completely discretionary manner. That is, they choose. It's complete anarchy in most businesses. Well, Ray Kroc wouldn't have tolerated that. So Ray Kroc said, no, this is how we do it here. So what I'm saying is, when you build a business, you got to go to work on it, not in it, to get the business to do what needs to be done in order to differentiate your business from every other business in the world. And you do that systemically. You don't do that by simply throwing the baby out with the bathwater and saying to everybody in your business, here, go out and do it the best way you can. And let's hope for the very best. That's what I mean by working on it, as opposed to working in it.
Gotcha. Now, I know I'm going to have some listeners out there that are going to think that this is so dependent upon the people in their business. What would you say to the people out there that have the attitude that I can't find good people and I'm the only one that knows how to do this?
Well, I'd say the person who's saying that is the technician, not the entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
There's not an entrepreneur in the world who would say that, because the world is populated with good people. The problem is, good people need to be thought of in a completely different way than most people think of it. I'm writing a new book called The E-Myth Manager. And in The E-Myth Manager, I talk about the three personality types in a business, talking about your people. And I talk about the mercenary, the grunt, and the patriot. The mercenary, everybody knows. The mercenary is the expert. So you hire somebody who's got all this experience, and you bring them into the business because they've got experience, and now what happens is you've hired a mercenary. And that is somebody who's got no allegiance to you whatsoever. They are the expert, you're not. And so they hold you hostage.
That's so true.
Every mercenary holds everyone hostage, except for the most extraordinarily unique one. And there are so few unique ones, so why even bother talk about them? The grunt is somebody who shows up every day to go to work. They come in, they go to work. They come in for the check, they go to work. They come in for the check, they go to work. They don't believe in this, they don't believe in that. They simply come and get their check and go to work. And everybody knows a grunt. The grunt grunts and sits there and does it, does it, does it, does it. There's no imagination, there's no inspiration, there's no passion, there's no whatever. It's just the grunt. Everybody's got a grunt. And everybody's got a mercenary, and so they recognize these people the minute I say them. Finally is the patriot. And the patriot is the true believer. The problem with the patriot is the patriot needs something to believe in. And so they're going to either find it in your business or they're going to find it someplace else. The entrepreneur is the one who creates something for the patriot to believe in. And the patriot, then, is a person who goes through three stages of development in the most extraordinary businesses. And that is apprenticeship, craftsmanship, and mastery. Apprenticeship is absolutely the critical first stage for any new employee, no matter how much experience they've got in your business. Because in your business, if you don't have an apprenticeship program, and that means this is how we do it here. You may have been in this business all your life, but you've never been in my business, and my business is completely different than anybody else in our industry. Therefore, you're an apprentice when you walk in the door, no matter how long you've been in our industry. So this is how we do it here. And so everybody goes through an apprenticeship program. Everybody goes through the craftsman stage. And in the Masonic order, there are three stages. And the first of it, the apprentice, the word that defines the apprentice is faith. The apprentice has nothing other than faith to go on because the apprentice doesn't know anything. The apprentice has to give himself or herself up to the higher order, which is, this is how we do it here. The word that defines the craftsman is hope, because the craftsman's been through apprenticeship, is now beyond faith, and now hopes that he or she can achieve mastery, because they can sense it, they're closer to it, but they still don't have it. And finally, the master, the word that defines mastery is charity. Because the master, having come to the place of going through apprenticeship, working through being a craftsman, finally has achieved a level of life that effectively requires them to turn around and to begin to teach. And so the word of the master is charity. And that's essentially what has to happen in everybody's business. There has to be a philosophy, there has to be a structure, there has to be a belief system, there has to be more than just going to work, there has to be a game worth playing. And I've just been defining for you that game. So there are many, 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 many good people out there when you begin to think about the accountability of the entrepreneur and the entrepreneurial business. And that is that the accountability is to create a game worth playing that has passion and vitality to it, and a ritual through which we produce results, a game worth playing that can engage people in a very, very deep way.
Now, this game relies on the fact that it's not the person, the actual people, that are the most important ingredient, but the actual environment that you create in your business. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying that it's everything. It's the people, obviously, because they're patriots. They're committed. They're not mercenaries. They're not grunts. It says no mercenaries, no grunts allowed. Right?
Right?
We want true believers, advocates, patriots. In every extraordinary business at Federal Express, a person's a patriot or they're not there. Now, what does it mean to be a patriot? You can't force people to be patriots. You can only engage them in a dialogue to talk about what you believe in. And if within them there's a corresponding need to believe in that, then effectively you have engaged somebody in the deepest level. So I'm saying we have to awaken the intelligent interest of our people. But we have to awaken them in something. In other words, there has to be some structure here. There can't just be all this hoping, wishing, feeling stuff. There needs to be a system which says, this is how we produce the results we produce. This is what apprenticeship means. These are the things you're accountable for. This is how you know when you've become a craftsman. There are certain standards of behavior. There are certain standards of comportment. There are certain skills you must develop. These are the skills. This is how you develop them. This is what they look like, taste like, feel like. These are the results they produce. If an owner of a business can't do that, then he's abdicating accountability for his business. And so I'm essentially saying it's the people, it's the system, and it's the vision. Without those three components, nobody can produce anything. If you leave out one of them, it just keeps on turning in on itself. So a business with just vision and no system is a business destined for trouble. A business with a system but no vision is a business that becomes a bureaucracy. A business that's built upon people but no system and no vision is a business that's destined for anarchy. Because people without a system and people without a vision just simply run amok. They become lost. There is nobody to slap them on the side of the head. Everybody needs somebody to slap them on the side of the head. I do, you do. I need a kick in the butt. The system kicks me in the butt. The vision kicks me in the butt. The other people kick me in the butt because they're reminded, this is how we do it here, this is where we're going, this is what we do to improve the system, etc. and so forth, and these are the standards that are inviolable. That is, nobody can violate them. These are the standards which rule our life. And if we're not capable as human beings to create the standards that rule our life, we will create the kind of chaos that we experience in this country today, which are no values. Standards are values. Values are replicated through a system. Values are held out there by the vision. And what I'm saying is, I don't care if you're a carpet cleaner, I don't care if you're a gang leader, I don't care who you are, if you don't hold these things to be true, these rules, these inviolable standards, if you have none, then effectively your business is doomed to disaster.
That's very powerful. That's a very interesting way of looking at it. I mean, what I got out of that, what you're describing, and what is appealing to me is your description in the E-Myth of business as a game. So basically, you know, I've tried to structure my business to make it like a game where we do have systems, meaning rules, where we do have team players, people trying to head towards an actual goal so they know what they're playing for, and it becomes fun. Because if you just have a totally dictatorship type of business, yeah, you might have a lot of strategies and you might have a specific goal and things you want to achieve, but you take the life and the pleasure out of actually being there.
What are you looking for? You're looking for their hearts. You're not looking for somebody's mind and you're not looking for their pocketbook. You're looking for their hearts. If you don't have your people's hearts invested in your business, invested in coming in every day, you got nothing. So when I talk about the manager as a gang leader, I mean, essentially, what makes a gang work? This whole idea of gangs, and what is it that causes these kids to commit their lives to this gang? Is it because they're forced to? No. They want to. Why? Because everybody needs something to belong to. And most people in our world today don't have something to belong to. And so I'm saying that the business, because of the nature of business today, the business can become something to belong to, something that gives me something that I believe in every day. And nothing else does that for us today. The country doesn't, our religions don't, and it's sad. In a secular world, what do you believe in? Well, we need something. And so I'm simply saying that every small business owner needs to understand that I'm creating my own world in my business. And that world needs glue. And that glue needs to be vision and a belief system. And that vision and belief system need to be passionately, intelligently expressed. And that becomes the glue that holds our people together. That becomes our colors. That becomes the rules of the game. That becomes everything that we talk about here in the process of creating an extraordinary game.
You know, that's very interesting. I mean, not only if you create that for yourself, you actually do it for many other people, and that's what is so important about small business, because you're not going to get it on the outside. You're only going to get it on the inside. And when you take people and they devote their time and their lives to a cause, your business, you can do extraordinary things, not only for building a business, but for other people and the livelihoods and the mindsets and their children and their children's children. And that's why it's so important to make your business work and to understand all this information.
Right.
Well, we're getting to the point where we're almost running out of time, and there's a ton of other questions that I'd like to ask you, but I want to make sure that, you know, we wrap it up and you say, what is the most important famous last words that you would give to the listeners that are out there at this point, obviously mentally challenged, probably the ones that have stayed with the tape at this point, which I'm sure most of them have, are probably sitting there pondering all kinds of things and having a completely different look on what they want to do with their businesses now, and that things are much different than what they might have perceived them as, and now they have to look at their businesses. Many of them might be organized, many of them might be in total chaos, some may be thinking, what I do, others are like, oh, those are some great tips, I'm going to go out and read the E-Myth. I mean, what would you say to the people out there listening to this tape?
There's a corresponding intelligence inside of every human being. If there isn't, forget it. So effectively, I can only inspire that intelligence to come awake. And so when I talk about these things, they're either self-evident once I've said them, or they're not. And if they're not self-evident, there's no hope. So effectively, all I'm describing is what's true. And I believe that with all my heart.
Yes, I absolutely agree.
Hello, this is Joe Polish. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this interview. I hope you found it very useful. Please give me your feedback on all of the interviews that you listen to. I'd love to hear your feedback so we can always deliver a great program for you. Our website is www.joepolish.com, and we also have a Joe Polish Recommends section, so you can take a lot of the ideas and concepts that you hear on my Genius Network interview series and apply them to your business and find vendors and resources. You can go to joepolish.com to find that information and click on the Joe Polish Recommends section. And also, if you'd like to find out about more interviews and invest in more useful Genius Network series interviews, go to www.geniusnetwork.com. Thanks, and eat your competition alive.
It's so true. I mean,